White Rocket Entertainment. Before we get started here, I just want to explain a little bit about what's going on. Originally, we planned to do 2 1-hour each episodes about Led Zeppelin, but the guys and I talked for an hour and a half and only covered the first half of the albums, the first five. And that's without the music excerpts that I'm adding in post-production so that they'll sound better than if I played them live during the recording of the show. So what that means is the whole show ended up running over 2 hours, and that's just for the first half of the albums, just half of what we intended to talk about. So I've cut this first episode into two parts. Throughout the show, we'll be talking about how this is part one, but really this is part 1A, and we'll get part 1B soon, and then we'll go back in and record part 2A and 2B down the road a little bit. So without further ado, here is the first of what will probably be 4 White Rocket episodes on Led Zeppelin. Oh, also, I will be playing musical excerpts from the catalog throughout all the episodes, but I'm only going to put in either short songs or excerpts of longer songs. So I hope that you real fans will forgive me if I cut the songs up a little bit, but I don't know that we want the episode to run forever and to have, you know, you got much better quality recordings than I can put on a podcast already probably. So I'm just going to put, just to kind of illustrate what we're talking about, I'll put some pieces and bits here and there from the album catalog.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
10, 9, 8, 7, ignition sequence started. All engines are started. We have ignition. 2, 1, 0. We have a liftoff. We have a liftoff, and it's lighting up the areas. It's just like daylight here at Kennedy Space Center as the Saturn V is moving off the pad. It is now clear the tower.
Hello, and welcome to the White Rocket Podcast, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the Earth Station One Network. It's one long conversation with a variety of guests about the best of popular culture. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and this week we're doing something very different for this program. Instead of science fiction and superheroes and all that kind of stuff, we're going to dig into 2 monumental episodes about the greatest rock and roll band of all time, at least in my opinion, and maybe these guys that are with me, who knows, and that is, of course, Led Zeppelin. And I am joined by 3 more big Led Zeppelin fans to get the lead out tonight. I'm joined by Aaron Smith.
Hello.
Yes, Michael Gordon.
Howdy.
Yes, from the Mothership, and Kel Carpenter.
Howdy.
All right, you guys ready to rock and roll? It's been a long time. It's been a long time since we rock and rolled. So we got to get it on. All right. Well, I thought about naming each one of us after a member of the band, but I didn't know who wanted to be John Paul Jones and just kind of sit quietly, and who wanted to be John Bonham and destroy the entire, you know, episode in a drunken alcoholic haze. So while the page and plant of us just kind of quarreled endlessly, so... I figured that's not a good idea, but we're going to have fun. We're going to talk about Led Zeppelin. We're going to do 2 parts. In our first episode tonight, we're going to go through the early stuff and the first 5 albums. And then in our second episode, we're going to talk about the second 5 albums, including the soundtrack and their later stuff up to the present. So we'll do a lot of commentary and discussion along the way, but the framework that I kind of have in mind is just kind of chronological. Okay. So whenever you guys have something you want to throw in about it that you know or want to ask or say, by all means, just jump right in. So I'm thinking, because we want to move things right on along, let's get on into it. The first thing I want to do is go around the room virtually and see your origin story related to Led Zeppelin. So let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about. I'll do mine first, and then we'll kind of go around the band here. My origin story is kind of interesting, at least to me. We'll see if you guys think so. And that is, I have a brother that's 8 years older than me. And he was young for the crowd that listened to Led Zeppelin, but he listened to them when the albums were first coming out, you know, 69, 70, 71, all through the 70s. And so when I was an infant, okay, the first Led Zeppelin album came out on my first birthday. So it was destiny, right? So from the time I was 1 year old, my brother was blasting Led Zeppelin LPs on his record player. So I was always around the music. I was always hearing it. It was in my DNA, and the album covers were around. I would always look at those. I remember staring at the cover of Led Zeppelin IV for like 30 minutes trying to understand it, and I still don't understand it. We'll get to that. I never really had a sense of the songs, though. I didn't know what the names of them were or anything like that. And then I went for years without hearing them or knowing much about them. And then when I was in high school, okay, when I was in like 11th grade, 10th or 11th grade, I got a hardcover copy of Hammer of the Gods by Stephen Davis, and he goes through and talks about each album one after the other, just like Mick Wall does in When Giants Walk the Earth that we'll be talking about. And so what I did was, when I read about the first album, I ran out and bought the cassette tape of the first album and listened to it after I read about it. So I kind of had his perspective on what each album was. And then I listened to it and kind of got my own, you know, my feelings about it were influenced by what he had said about it. And I worked through all 10 of them that way over the course of like 3 months. And so, and then I just, of course, played them till the cassettes wore out. So I've been around Led Zeppelin my entire life, but I really became a huge fan probably in like 10th or 11th grade in high school, reading that book while I was listening. So let me go to next up on our – I'm just going to cross the board for my board here. Mike, how did you come to be a Led Zeppelin fan?
Wow, it wasn't until much later for me. It wasn't until college. So we're talking 1986, 87-ish, and which was perfect for me because before that I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for Zeppelin. I grew up, my mom was a huge Elvis fan, so I grew up listening to a lot of Elvis, and then I know this is going to shock a lot of people who are familiar with me, and some who are may not be familiar with me, but I'm extremely nerdy, so I listened to nothing but, like, for the, I don't know, soundtracks for most of my childhood, John Williams and the James Bond scores and the just a lot of soundtracks and orchestra music. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I got into high school, later maybe college, that I started really getting into rock. I'm from Massachusetts, so Aerosmith was on all the time, and I was familiar with them. And in college, I couldn't go without hearing any Led Zeppelin, obviously. You know, obviously Stairway to Heaven and some other tracks that I'm sure we're going to talk about were songs that I knew, but I really had never really dived into it until one night a friend of mine in college was like, "Well, you like blues music, don't you?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, you like Zeppelin." And I'm like, "Really?" And they said, "Yeah, listen to this." And he put on the first album, and I've been hooked ever since.
I was kind of the same way, by the way. I listened to soundtracks and that kind of music for a long time. It was high school for me, too, when I really started listening to – I think it was probably around the time that Def Leppard and ZZ Top and all of them were happening in the early 80s that I really
– Yeah, we're about the same age, so yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Exactly. Okay, Kel, what is your Led Zeppelin origin story?
Oh, well, I'm here in Middle Georgia near Macon, and the local Macon – classic rock station in high school had a 10 o'clock Get the Lead Out show. And I just happened to tune in as Stairway to Heaven was coming on. And I'd heard of it, but I never heard it at that point. This was maybe 11th grade. I was mainly top 40, 80s stuff. Heard it and said, "This is really interesting. I really like this." And so I went and found the cassette of the fourth album, stuck it in. I remember it very vividly. It was a Sunday afternoon, and a buddy of mine and I were hanging out, and we went to the local record bar, God rest its soul, and I plugged it in, and then there's that little, and then Hey, Hey, Mama, and I've never looked back. Beautiful stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about that one because that album has such an interesting feel to it. It's really...
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, Aaron, what is your Led Zeppelin origin story?
All right. Well, am I the youngest one here? It sounds like I'm the youngest one here.
Probably. If you're not an old, ancient codger like the rest of us, then yes.
I'm 39. All right. Well, I had just started my first job when I was 16. I was working in a produce department and in a supermarket, and there was always a radio playing in the back room because two of the guys in my department were musicians. One was a drummer. One was a played keyboard, guitar, bass, everything you can name this guy played. And up until this point, I had very little interest in music. I just hadn't gotten into it. So the radio is always on, and one day, Fool in the Rain comes on, and I had never heard anything that sounded like that before, and I asked the drummer friend of mine what it was, and he told me it was Led Zeppelin, and it happened to be his personal favorite band, and I needed to hear more, except I had no idea what the name of that song was. So I went to the record store.
That wouldn't have helped, by the way. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
And I started looking at the Zeppelin cassettes, trying to figure out which song this was, and I couldn't. And I just somehow I ended up something on the back of a Zeppelin II cassette sounded like it might have been it. I have no idea what at this point. This is 25 years ago. So I bought that one, and I went home, and I put it on with the headphones on, and it just my brain boiled over with that, and that was the end of it. It's been my favorite band ever since. You can't put that on and not have something change.
Yeah, Led Zeppelin II will do that to you. It absolutely should have a warning on it. If we're
I'm glad I made that mistake, because if I had picked up the album it was actually on, which was In Through the Outdoor, and I liked that album, but I don't think I would have quite gotten that the way I got Zeppelin II at that point, at that age.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a very different animal.
While we're talking about embarrassing Zeppelin stories, you know, I told you that I was reading the book while I was getting the cassettes. And so I was reading about these songs and having Stephen Davis describe the songs when I had never heard some of them. And so I had heard All My Love on the radio, you know, at some point. And I remembered that tune, that melody to All My Love. Mm-hmm. All of My Love. Mm-hmm. Okay. But he starts talking about their big hit, Whole Lot of Love. And I'm sitting here in my head going, Whole Lot of Love, Whole Lot of Love, Whole Lot of Love to You, Girl. No, that can't be right, you know. He just didn't. That was the only one I could think of that matched those words, though, you know. So I was, when I heard Whole Lot of Love, I'm like, no, this is definitely not what I was thinking about. So,
and you immediately hit puberty.
Yeah. That's what it'll do. All right, so before we get into the albums, I've got two other things that I want to talk about. One is I got a couple more questions for everybody, and then I got a little Led Zeppelin trivia. Okay. And I've got some of these for both shows. So when we do the second episode, we'll have it too. All right. So we'll start out on since we're on the first five albums on this episode. Which is really the classic. You know, I was thinking, it's funny, we've done so many James Bond episodes on this show. I was just thinking that the first five, to some degree, everybody's got a different feeling about it. But the early Led Zeppelin albums are kind of like the Connery Bond movies. You know what I'm saying? One or two, maybe not as strong as a couple of others, but that's the classics. And then, like, the later Zeppelin albums are kind of like Dalton and Roger Moore and
Roz. So is... Is 3 Lazenby?
Well, no, that's the... See, that's... Ooh.
I mean, because it's a departure, right? It's
Yeah. Well, yeah. Some say that 3 is like Diamonds Are Forever, see? Something's just not quite right. You just know it's kind of right, but it's a little paunchy or something. So, well, anyway, I don't want to torture the metaphor any more than just to say that, you know, they both have runs where the early part is everybody's favorite. All right, so here we go. We'll go around the opposite order this time. Aaron, what is your favorite Led Zeppelin album of all? And you know what? It doesn't have to be one of the 9 or 10. Can I just say, let me just go ahead and set the ground rules for everybody up front. I'm going to be saying the 10 albums because I consider the Song Remains the Same soundtrack to be one of the 10. I know it's not a studio album, but it's one of the 10 original albums. It came out during the original run before Coda. So I'm counting. I'm going to say when I say the 10, I mean like the 10 that came out, you know, up through Coda. All right. And then there's been a lot of stuff since then. So it doesn't have to be one of the 10. But what is your favorite Led Zeppelin album?
Physical Graffiti.
Wow. Okay. And why is that?
Well, number one, it's double length.
Yes.
Number two, it has more than one song on it, definitely, that would make my top 5 or 6 or 10 Zeppelin songs, including my number one favorite, which I'll save for later because I'm sure that's going to be one of the questions.
Yeah, that's next.
So I will hold off on which one it is until we get to that question.
We all have a suspicion, but you may throw us a curveball. It could be, you know, the In My Time of Dying or Night Flight. It could be that, I guess.
I'll tell you, it's not Night Flight. But
I'm on the side. I'm doing this off the top of my head.
Going to dismiss that right away.
There's nothing wrong with Night Flight. It's just not on anybody's top 10 list, I don't think.
Okay, let's go to Kel. What is your favorite Led Zeppelin album?
I will have to second Physical Graffiti.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it really just stands out to me. And I'll get into more of it later as well. But yeah, after some literature I read post enjoying the album and it being my favorite, I understand why now. So yeah, it's definitely my favorite.
They're very interesting. This is surprising to me. I wasn't really sure what regard that one was held in compared to the five before it. It's kind of like I'm reacting to you guys saying that kind of like people react when I say that You Only Live Twice is my favorite Bond movie. They're like, but Goldfinger, but From Russia with Love, right? That's kind of like the 2 and the 4, you know, of Led Zeppelin. So This is interesting. This is interesting. All right, here we go, Mike. Is it going to be 3 in a row for Physical Graffiti?
It's not. As much as I like Physical Graffiti, and Physical Graffiti would be my second favorite album.
Interesting.
My first one I have to go with My First Love, which is the first album.
Wow.
And I can play that all the time, anytime. And there's not a bad track on there. And for a first album, that is incredible. It's one of the best first albums from a band that I think I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah. A lot of people felt that way. Why they got to be so huge. All right. Well, I get to cheat since I went last. So I'm going to say mine keeps changing. There was a, you know, originally it was probably 4, but that didn't last long because you hear the songs on 4 so much that I don't want to say you get tired of them, but they lose a little of that mystery and a little of that specialness when you've heard them on the radio or whatever 8 million times. So 4 is amazing, but it quickly became 2. 2 became my favorite for quite a while. Back when I was in high school and college, I think 2 was my favorite. I kind of got tired of it after a while, and 1 became my favorite for a while. But I think that it's right up there. But I honestly have to say right now, for the last couple of years, the one that I go back to the most, the one that I love the songs on the most and go back to more than any other, is Houses of the Holy. I love the first 3 songs. I can just go from The Song Remains the Same to The Rain Song to Over the Hills and Far Away, just bang, bang, bang. I can play that like it's one song. Every day I could play it. And then the backside is so diverse, right? You've got Dancing Days, which is crazy. Then you've got Jamaica, which is a weird reggae thing. And then you got No Quarter, which is totally different from all the rest of them, you know. And then The Ocean, which is a headbanging, like every heavy metal group after them basically copied, you know. So it's just so diverse. I really respect Houses of the Holy as them not trying to copy their huge number 4 album and going and just doing something completely different for the next one. So we'll talk about that when we get into it. All right, we're going to go back around again and say, what is your favorite Led Zeppelin song? And I realize it's hard to pick a favorite, but let's just say if you had to pick one, if John Bonham or Richard Cole or Grant were holding a gun to your head, and they might well have done it, which one would you say was your favorite song? And let's go. We'll go back around again, Aaron.
Cashmere.
Aha! I knew it. Cashmere. Why you like Cashmere?
It's magic. There's something about that entire song. It takes me to another world. It's
yeah.
It really transports me somewhere else. The lyrics paint this very vivid picture, and all the pieces of the band just come together so perfectly in that. It's very powerful. And if I can just add something odd to it, oddly enough, I think my favorite version of it is the one from the reunion concert a few years ago. Only because somehow those particular lyrics come across in a completely different way because of the aging. And I mean aging in a good way, because I think he's managed to use it in a way that suits the way it has aged rather than trying to be 25 again. The aging of Robert Plant's voice. There's a certain wisdom to it that wasn't there when he was young, and those lyrics, it's almost the difference between, you know, he was, there's something almost wizard like about him now,
yeah,
with that voice, and those lyrics just come out effectively in a different way than they did when he was younger with that voice.
Well, let me say one thing about Cashmere since you brought it up. I think that Cashmere is very interesting in that it, to me, and you may all disagree, but to me, Cashmere really represents very much the watershed middle moment of their career. I feel like there's everything they did before Cashmere and there's everything they did after. And Cashmere sounds a little bit like everything before, and it sounds a little bit like everything after, kind of at the same time.
Yeah. I know that Plant has said that that's the quintessential Zeppelin song. That it's the journey. It's not anything else.
Yeah, he doesn't like Stairway to Heaven very much. He didn't even want to sing it. He had to twist his arm to get him to play it at the O2 at the concert that Aaron was talking about. So, okay, Kel, what's your favorite song?
The song is Houses of the Holy off of Physical Graffiti. I can't can't really say why. It's just I love that song. If you look at the number of plays in my music library for any Zeppelin song, that will be the highest because it's just the best.
It's also a great indication of how the band will mess with you because that song is not on that album.
Exactly. Yes.
Why? I always wondered why they left it. I've never read anything that says why they left it off and kept it around for the next one, and yet they kept the album the same name. I mean, you'd think they'd change the name of the album if they took the title song off of it. So I never quite understood that. But
Jimmy Page threw the runes, and he knew you would be confused, so he said, "I'm going to do it that way."
That's it. That's got to be it. Okay, Mike, what's your favorite song?
It's Kashmir. It has such an epic sound to it. You know, as I mentioned before, I grew up with soundtracks and Kashmir, that orchestration of it is magical. And, you know, I like the original version. I like the version every time I've seen it live, or at least the footage live. I've never actually seen the band live, but, I like the no quarter version. I like the sampled version that's on the Godzilla soundtrack. I like the and I just watched the Celebration Day live version of it, and that is incredible. And that's the other thing I love about it too, is all four members are, and these are some of the best. These are four of the best musicians ever, and they work their butts off for this song, and there's nothing effortless about this song. It's a challenge to perform, and yet it's easy on the ears. It's a magical song all the way around.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna cheat again.
your house, your rules.
That's right. Probably my favorite song, the one that blew me away the most, and I couldn't believe that nobody ever talked about it, I never heard it on the radio, was when I got Physical Graffiti, the Wanton song. I mean, that's just like a explosion from start to finish. There's nothing, it just goes. And what was cool is, I believe they played it, did they play it at the O2?
No,
they played For Your Life, didn't they? That was the one they dredged up that they'd never played before. That was,
yes.
I like that song a lot too. I know where I heard the Wanton song. We went to see, I took my daughter and her boyfriend, who were 17, a couple of weeks ago. This is a really quick story. I got for Christmas last year, my wife gave me the big hardcover Jimmy Page photo book. It's like $60, that huge book of like all of his photographs he's had of him, and he's taken over like his whole cool career. It's a great book, and it has the big golden Zoso on the cover. And I was thinking, you know, for years and years and years, I've just ignored that and never really asked myself, what does it mean? So I went on Google and I Googled Zoso, and instead of anything about the symbol coming up, it popped up Zoso, the world's greatest Led Zeppelin tribute band. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool that there's a band called Zoso that plays Led Zeppelin. And I clicked on it, and it says, we play this Friday in Edwardsville, Illinois. Edwardsville, Illinois is like 30 minutes north of me. I'm like, oh, my God, Led Zeppelin kind of is playing 30 minutes from here. So I immediately got the last, like, three tickets left in the venue. And I took Maddie and Hunter because they had no clue about Led Zeppelin, right? I mean, they just – and – we were blown away. It was so great. But one of the songs that they played in their like 2.5 hour set was the Wanton song. It's the first time I'd ever seen it played by anybody live. And I'm like, I love this song. So the Wanton song for a long time, but lately the song I've been listening to, and this is going to be weird, but the song I've been listening to the most lately is the Rain song from Houses of the Holy. I just really like the Rain song. It sounds different from almost everything else they do. You know, usually when they play a song that's that slow, they're building up to something. But no, it's just, that's the song, you know. But it's got all the textures, all the guitar textures and keyboard and everything, and I really like it. But probably of all time, my favorite Zeppelin song, honestly, these days, is probably Achilles' Last Stand.
epic.
It's a lot like Kashmir in some ways, and it's a long song. It's got layers of watches of guitars through it and everything, and it's just a very interesting song. So, okay, well, let me see here. Before we get into the – I got one more thing for you. It's Led Zeppelin Tributes. Let's just see if any of you – who can get it first, or if any of you can. I'm sure at least one of you will get everything here. Here is your first Led Zeppelin trivia question. In fact, you know what? Let's do it this way. I'm going to I'll ask the questions now, and then at the end of the show, we'll give the answers. We'll see if you guys know the answers, but we'll let the audience think about it while we do the other stuff. Okay, so I'm gonna read the questions now. You guys can be thinking about them. The audience can be thinking about them, and when we get to the end of this episode, I'll give the answers. Okay.
All right.
So here are the four trivia questions that actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And again, if you're a real Led Zeppelin fan, you probably know all of these, but I just want to throw some out here. Number one, who objected to the band's name and the first album cover and nearly made them have to change both? Okay. Who didn't like the name and the album cover and wanted them to change? Question number two, because of that situation, they played that very night a gig in Denmark, and it was the only time they were not called either Led Zeppelin or the New Yardbirds. They had a third name that night when they played in Denmark while they were about to be sued over the name of the band. What was the name they played under that was not the New Yardbirds and it was not Led Zeppelin? All right. If we can say it on the radio. Number three.
I think it's safe.
Number three, what's the nickname of the second album? It has a kind of a fan nickname. Number four, what other band lent their mobile recording van so that Led Zeppelin could record, I believe, album four and some other tracks? There's another band let Led Zeppelin, let Jimmy Page borrow their mobile recording unit because they were off in the woods to record that album. And then your last trivia question for this episode, how many little kids actually worked as models photographed on the cover of Houses of the Holy? In other words, you see a bunch of little kids on the cover of Houses of the Holy climbing the rocks, but how many actual models were involved in that photo shoot? Ah, that might be kind of hard. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. You can mull those over. The audience can mull those over, and let's get into it now. Here's the meat of tonight's episode. And we're just going to kind of go through these, and then that'll wrap up for this episode, and then we'll come back with part two and finish it all out. So, before 1969, when the band really started, and by the way, one of the things I think is kind of interesting about Led Zeppelin is that they are considered a 70s band, and yet nearly half their catalog was out by the end of 1971. Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Four of their nine studio albums were out by the end of 1971. We're going to talk about how come that is. So, you know, yeah. So just to kind of set everything up, and then we'll talk about the albums. So the Yardbirds, Jimmy Page had come in toward the end of the Yardbirds, and he was like the only one that wanted to continue the band. So he kind of inherited the name, he and Peter Grant, the manager. And so they decided to be the New Yardbirds. And correct me if I'm wrong, guys, I believe the story goes that John Paul Jones called Jimmy up and said, hey, I want to be part of that. So he had this bass player because they were both well-known session players, very professional musicians in London. But they needed a singer and a drummer. And they went after Terry Reed, but he was busy. And he said, well, I know this guy out in the black country in the Midlands called Robert Plant. And Jimmy goes and hears him and thinks there's got to be something wrong with him because anybody that's that good that's not playing, you know, singing with a big band – something must be, you know, he must have a problem, but it just, he hadn't had a big break yet. And then Robert was childhood friends with John Bonham, the drummer. And so is that correct? Is that the story you guys have heard? And you know any embellishments I left out?
The only thing I can see, I'm actually looking at it on Wikipedia here. They say that the group was Band of Joy.
Yeah, that was Robert's group before he met Jimmy.
And it says, though, that he also sang for a group called Hobbs Tweedle.
Yep.
which is really strange.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, remember, it was the late 60s. You had bands like Pops, Tweedle, and stuff like that. Yeah.
Moby Grape.
Yes. Iron Butterfly. You know, so
Mott the Hoople.
Mott the Hoople, that's right. Okay, so they get together, and they start to play, and what they come up with eventually becomes Led Zeppelin 1, which, like I said, it came out of my first birthday, January 12, 1969. So let's talk a little bit about Led Zeppelin 1. Mike, you said it's your favorite album, so tell us a little bit about it beyond what you've already said that stands out about that album and made them big stars.
Well, I don't know about the big stars part, but as far as my association with it, I mean, it's the I guess the legend goes that the four guys got into their studio together, or the first time they ever played together, they were just kind of looked at each other like, okay, now what do we do? And I think it was Jimmy that suggested playing a blues song, and I don't think John was familiar with it, but quickly they started playing it, and within minutes they just gelled and looked at each other afterwards and said, yeah, we've got something. And this the blues element of it is so strong in the first album. I mean, it's there throughout their careers, but in that first album, it's really just a great blues album. In particular, the second track, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, is just this rockin'. Well, it's not a rockin', but it's this emotional track that the band takes you on. And then they follow that up with You Shook Me, which is not theirs. And I think this is not the only album, but this is one of the few albums that has like about four tracks that they don't write.
Right.
I think most of the other stuff is just them.
And over the years, they've finally reluctantly kind of gone back and acknowledged that they got them from earlier songs. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I think When the Levee Breaks is not really theirs, but for the longest time they owned it. It felt like that was theirs, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think that's the thing that really stands out about that first album is that they really, I mean, if you look at the first few albums, they're inventing whole new types, multiple types of music as they go.
Yes.
And nobody was doing anything like Led Zeppelin 1 when it came out. I mean, if you go back and listen to stuff from 1968 to early 1969, nothing else sounds like this album. And it just had to hit like an earthquake, you know, because it on the one hand, it sounds old, you know, it just sounds drenched in ancient bluesy, you know, it's slow and it's ponderous. It really is heavy, but on the other hand, it sounds brand new and amazing. So, Aaron, what do you think of when you think about Led Zeppelin 1?
I think about what was just said. I think about the blues. It is so heavy on that album that I think that album played a major part in me becoming a fan of the blues and going back in time from that album back and looking at where all this blues came from and going back toward its roots. And what you said about it sounding old, I agree, but I also agree that it doesn't. One thing about Zeppelin, not just this album, but a lot of them, it doesn't sound like it belongs to any particular time period, because like you just said, it didn't sound like anything else that was coming out in 1968. It's almost as if their whole career is separate from the main flow and evolution of music.
Yeah.
This being an example of it, where it merges that 60s feeling with that ancient blues feeling and creates something entirely different by basically blowing out of the water whatever else was happening at the time and incorporating this heavy, heavy blues element into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kale, what is it do for you?
I mean, it's just this great kick in the face. I mean, they made a statement, and I think I haven't read anywhere where they said, hey, we're gonna make this statement, but I mean, it was just these four guys that just kicked it out and said, here it is. We love this stuff. It's great. And nobody's, like everybody says here tonight, nobody's doing this. And yeah, it was heavy. I tend to disagree with the, and I know there's lots of thought on this and discussions and arguments. I tend to disagree that they're heavy metal. I think they're just heavy. And you know, the rest sorts itself out. And I know they've gone to some lengths to distance themselves from the label heavy metal because they don't agree with it either. But, I don't know. It's like you've kind of mainlined into something that's really, like you say, old and ancient, and it just like shocks you. Oh my God, what is this? It's just, yeah. And things like, you know, the Tolkien little insert in Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You. No, that's not, it's Ramble On. Ramble On is where that is.
Yeah, you think that's the second one.
Yeah.
That's the second one. I'm getting ahead of myself.
They bring the Tolkien in, yeah. Well, let me say this. The song that probably stands out, I mean, there's several, but the song that probably kind of carries on from this album, certainly in their concerts, is Dazed and Confused. But would you guys...
Oh, yeah.
Is that the standout from this album, or is there another song or two that you think is more important than that one, and that's just the one that they kind of kept in the concert so Jimmy could do the bow with his, you know, the famous violin bow?
I think it's How Many More Times.
Oh, I do too. See, I do too. I never hear anybody say that.
It's so hard.
How Many More Times?
I actually heard it. Communication Breakdown.
Yeah, Communication Breakdown is like the one they'd go on TV and play or whatever if they had like a single. Aaron, what did you
I said I agree. It's How Many More Times.
Yeah.
I mean, I listened to that and I think, you know, I mean, all three of the instrumentalists are doing an incredible thing on there and they're almost superhuman. And then Plant, you're sitting there going, how does a, what was he, 19 at the time? How does a 19-year-old kid from England sing blues like this? As if he's channeling every generation of blues man that came before him, and it's this long, drawn-out song that goes through so many different phases.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't turn up.
I got 10 kids. I got one on the way. That makes 11. I'm in constant heaven. Really? Wow. It's just crazy. Oh.
I'm going to play something here, but I'm not sure. It may be that. That's an 8.5 minute long song, though.
Yeah, it's a long song.
We'll see if I do that or if I go with something else.
This also established that they didn't care about just coming out with single hits.
Yeah.
Unlike everybody else at the time, the Stones and the sort of the Beatles had set that in motion, but then all these other pop bands, but then you had the Stones and the Kinks, and they're just focused on these 3-4 minute tops songs that are coming out for the radio. Led Zeppelin's not afraid to right from the get-go is not afraid to like take songs into 6-7-8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're not worried about it.
Yeah,
amazing.
Well, and the other thing that's so different about this and them at that time from most debuts, and I guess by 68, I guess it was not as much, but all the bands you listed, you know, with the exception of the Stones, you know, most of them, even the Who, they kind of had this uniform mod look of the day, you know, when they started out, and then, oh, we're artists now and we're going to wear different stuff and we're going to, you know, they're just four guys from different places in the UK, and here we are. We're just dudes playing, and we're wearing whatever the heck we want. We don't need a uniform. What are you talking about?
Until Jimmy gets his dragon.
I would
kill somebody in the street for one of those dragons. Either the black one or the white one. I love them so much.
His astrology mechanics outfit. Yeah.
Well, it's called it the heroin suit. The white one is the heroin suit because it's got poppies and dragons. Do the math. But anyway, well, let's go on to number two.
You need cooling, baby. I'm not fooling. I'm gonna send you back to school, way down inside. Honey, you need it. I'm gonna give you my love.
Now, later in that same year, imagine that Led Zeppelin 1 and Led Zeppelin 2 came out less than a year apart, both in 1969. I mean, it's just kind of mind-blowing that they went right back in and started working. It's funny, too, because a lot of these early albums, if most of their albums, they recorded while they were on tour.
Yeah, I think the first album is just a studio, but the rest of them are while they're on the road, right?
Yeah, they'd get time wherever they could. They would have the mobile unit like I talked about, or they would go to a Electric Ladyland in New York, or they'd go to a studio in Germany. They did one in Munich. They did one in Los Angeles. They would just use whatever was available. And Jimmy was like, they'd play a concert, and then Jimmy would like stay up all night, you know, mixing and layering all the stuff and everything. It's just the amount of work that they did, and then partied the way that they did infamously too, right? Which we'll get to, is just astonishing. But so we got to get to that. So Led Zeppelin II. Now, this is the one that really put them on the map in a big way, I think, if they weren't already. Obviously, a whole lot of love just jumps right out and grabs you. There's the Heartbreaker has that famous riff and the solo. It's just astonishing. You just want to give up the guitar when you hear that solo. A bunch of other stuff. There's the drum solo. They're like, that's one of the first albums I've ever seen had a drum solo as a song. And although it's great. Ramble On is the one you were talking about, Kel, that has the toll. Yeah. So what do you guys think about? Let's go around the room again real quick. Mike, what do you think of when you think of Led Zeppelin II? I mean, what stands out about that album for you?
This is the album where Zeppelin becomes Zeppelin. Yeah. The first album is a great album. It's a blues album. They're taking blues into a different direction. But this album is where they claim, like, this is who we are. From the opening riff of Whole Lot of Love, they just own it. And it sounds unlike anything else out there. It's a totally unique sound. And you look at all the tracks, Whole Lot of Love and Lemon Song and Ramble On and Moby Dick, and they're just Living Loving Maid. They're just all like these classic rock songs that now we can see and look, and they seem sort of basic and normal to us. They're not so astonishing because every other rock band since then has copied like those four or five songs.
Yeah. Yeah. They hit like artillery shells when people were first listening to this thing. I mean, this is the album that the soldiers were playing in Vietnam. You know, they were driving the tank and blasting Whole Lot of Love while they shot people. It's kind of bizarre. That's the one they were playing in Vietnam. Aaron, what are your feelings about Led Zeppelin II and your sense of it?
It's perfect. There's not a dud on that album. Not that there's a dud on any Zeppelin album, but I'm looking at the track listing right now for the album, and there's not a single song on there that I would not want to listen to at this exact moment. That works best when it's the second half of Heartbreaker. By itself, maybe not so much. Okay, you got me on that one. But I mean, and I also think this is where the absolute variety on this album, where you have several Zeppelin reinterpretations of old blues songs in the Lemon Song and Bring It On Home, and then you have a couple straightforward rock songs which have become iconic with Whole Lot of Love and Heartbreaker, and then you have the first hint of all the Lord of the Rings references coming into Zeppelin with Ramble On. It's just, there's so many different things going on here in this short little album. I mean, it's not even an hour long, and there's a universe in there.
Yeah. It's amazing. Kel, Led Zeppelin II.
It's, I said before, it'll make you hit puberty. this was the first one of theirs that I heard that really was like, oh wow, this is the sex album. I mean, you know, you start off with a whole lot of love, and then there's the Lemon Song coming up, and yeah. I don't know. I mean, that, and then the other one, my favorite off of this whole album is What Is and What Should Never Be, and it's like the most psychedelic thing from them that I was like, whoa, this is like trippy, dude. What's going on? And it just, it has that, oh wow, here we go. We're smoking a little weed and we're singing. And then all of a sudden he just like, whoa, whoa, it breaks out and whoa, what's this stuff they're saying?
That's when you first get the sense that they're going to be able to change tempos and drastically, you know, which becomes one of their signatures going forward.
I think the thing that's interesting to me about that song in particular is I have a tribute album called The Song Retains the Name. It's great. And it's these indie groups. And I want to say that the group that covers this is called Helen Keller Plaid. Which is hilarious in its own thing. But the guy's singing and he gets to one point and says, "I don't know all the words." He just says that because he doesn't know all the words. But it's just, and it's still good. That's the thing. He doesn't know the words and he says it, but it's good. So yeah, I mean, it translates. I don't know.
I got to point out that the first album and the second album, both, I heard on cassette originally.
Yes.
And the cassette.
Yeah, me too.
Is different. The cassette order is different from the album order and the CD order and everything else. And so
it throws me off.
Get this, on the first album, side two is side one and side one is side two. So I always used to start my Led Zeppelin Odyssey with the pipe organ, you know, John Paul Jones's pipe organ on Your Time Is Gonna Come. That to me is the first Led Zeppelin song. And you get the Good Times, Bad Times on side two. Now, this album, they switched around Heartbreaker and Thank You. So the first side of Led Zeppelin II went Whole Lot of Love, What Is and What Should Never Be, The Lemon Song, and Heartbreaker. That's just, man, that's pretty solid side of record right there.
I was going to say, the only thing about Led Zeppelin II I don't care for is the album cover.
Yeah. They threw it together in a hurry.
It just seems like it's just bad photo alignment and
They put it together in a big hurry because they were trying to get it out while they were on tour and it was not great. Any other thoughts about two before we zip on to three?
The only thing that I would want to say is about Ramble On and the previously mentioned Tolkien. It was always weird to me that he was in the depths of Mordor and he met a girl so fair. Really? Yeah, okay. I don't know.
And Gollum stole her.
Yeah.
I mean, who runs off with Gollum? And was she really that fair if she ran off with Gollum?
She wanted the ring.
That's it.
It's pretty deep,
guys. It's the ring. It's all about the ring.
You got to put a ring on it.
And then throw it in the volcano. That's the
exactly.
other part of the
time. Exactly.
Is it Gollum and the Evil One or Gollum and the Evil Rog, like Balrog? I've never known. I've read it both.
I think it's the Evil One.
It's the Evil One, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they were that deep.
Yeah.
they're that much nerds.
It is Robert we're talking about here. That's true. Okay. Just be grateful they put anything on there about Tolkien.
Yeah.
All right. So we're at about the halfway point of our first conversation about Led Zeppelin there. We've covered some of their early history as well as the first two albums pretty thoroughly. I know that I left you hanging on the trivia questions, but we will answer those trivia questions at the end of the next episode, I promise. And most of you probably know the answer to most of them anyway if you're a big Led Zeppelin fan, but we will get back to those at the end of the next episode. So let's leave it off there. And coming up in our next episode will be talk about Led Zeppelin III, about Led Zeppelin IV, the untitled Zoso album, and of course, Houses of the Holy, plus a little more general Zeppelin discussion. So the Rocket's going to get on out of here for another episode, and we will see you guys down the Stairway to Heaven.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.